Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Can you believe it is Thursday already, Rolene Marks?
I cannot believe it already, and I have to confess, I might not be down under, but I was having a good dance and nostalgic moment to that.
I knew you would. I knew you would. So was I, if I'm going to admit it too. Okay, we're back to the Israel report. Rolene Marks, what do you got for me today?
So before we get into the topics that are on our schedule, there has been an announcement regarding travelers from our Ministry of Health, and this is relevant to South African listeners. Shezi Levy, he's the Director General of the Health Ministry. He has stated that from Monday, that's May the 3rd, anybody coming from the following countries have to quarantine from 10 to 14 days upon entering Israel. That's Ukraine, Ethiopia, Brazil, South Africa, India, Mexico, and Turkey. So if you are traveling to Israel from South Africa, effective of Monday, you will have to go into quarantine for 10 to 14 days. This has just been announced by the Ministry of Health.
Okay, I've got to tell you, there are no surprises there. I thought that was the law anyway, but good to know. Rolene, let's talk EU Parliament. I was really amazed to see this story.
Well, you and me both, because the EU has become the first official body or legislature to pass a resolution that will censure UNRWA for the incitement of hatred and violence in the schools that they run in the Palestinian territory. So UNRWA is the United Nations Relief Works Agency. They are essentially, or their mandate essentially was to deal with Palestinian refugees at the creation of the State of Israel. And now generations on, they're still in existence, and a very, very, very controversial agent of the United Nations indeed, because they are responsible for a lot of the education in the Palestinian territories. And we've heard it so many times, and you and I have spoken so many times about this, that if you open up the UNRWA textbooks, it's nothing short of incitement of hatred, hate speech, incitement of violence. So the European Union Parliament tabled a resolution and passed the resolution expressing their concern at what is being taught. And they said, you know, every year they have to look at their budget, their budgetary procedure, and they have to look at how the European taxpayer funds that are given to these kind of projects are carried out and are allocated by the European Union. And this is comes at the on the back of the Biden administration announcing that they will refund UNRWA, but it comes with checks and balances. They are demanding that they will get to scrutinize the material that goes into the textbooks. And UNRWA have said that they act in full transparency and publishes in an open source platform all its educational materials for teachers and students, as well as its reviews of host country textbooks used to ensure that content adheres to the UN values and does not encourage hatred. However, we've seen time and time and time again that this is what we are, any of this kind of incitement to violence comes directly from these kind of textbooks. And Impact, which is an NGO here in Israel that monitors this, their CEO has said that the European Parliament has shown the way for all those who do not want to write blank checks to this deeply flawed organization. So I think that between the US and the European Parliament, UNRWA has been put on blast. There will be no more tolerance, or at least no more money given to you if you are going to propagate hate speech.
I'm just so amazed that it's taken this long. I mean, there are so many parties who donate money who don't want that incitement taught, and yet it just continues year after year after year after year. I'm missing something here, but never mind. And maybe Abbas went to one of those schools because he became a bit unhinged earlier this week, didn't he? He's reported to have said the most outrageous things against a whole bunch of countries.
Well, he is slowly becoming, okay, well, maybe not so slowly, but he is becoming a little bit more, as we say in Yiddish, eberbottle as we go along. But could it be because he has a big challenger in Hamas who are extremely, extremely radical for an upcoming elections, alleged elections, Simon. We still don't know if
bets are on. I'm not one who's saying it's going to happen at all. We spent quite some time yesterday amongst ourselves talking about the Human Rights Watch report. My colleague Howard had a fascinating discussion in the morning with a member of Human Rights Watch as well as Sean Sachs. This is an important issue. What is Israel's stance?
Israel's stance has been to actually dismiss this report. And I listened with great interest to the interview that Howard had with the spokesperson from the Human Rights Watch at their office in the UK and to Sean Sachs. And I've had a look at the report, which is nauseating to say the least, and the graphics that go along with the report. So from Israel's perspective, a lot is being made about the fact that it was put forward by Omar Shakir, whose work visa was not extended, and he was in fact expelled from Israel under the legislation that allows for BDS activists to be expelled or to not be allowed into the country. This is because he is a supporter of the BDS movement, which is a movement that in its least format or its best format calls for boycotts of Israel, and at its worst calls for Israel to not exist as the nation state of the Jewish people. And of course that is a threat to our national security. So is it a vendetta on his part, or are they playing into a very, very difficult agenda that is circulating or growing at the moment, which is identity politics, and identity politics along the lines of cancel culture? Are they playing into that kind of strategy and that kind of agenda? You know, glaringly missing for me in that report, first of all, was a definition of apartheid that acknowledges South Africa, the South African experience, South Africa's victims of apartheid, and acknowledges that apartheid was unique to South Africa. Also, the graphics that go along with this. You know, anybody who's been to Israel knows that we're a country that is diverse. We are not blue-eyed, blonde-haired Israelis, and that is the visual that Human Rights Watch want you to believe. You know, coupled with this is the complete abdication of any responsibility to the Palestinian Authority and to Hamas for the way that they not only treat their citizens, which is appalling to say the least. So you and I spoke just a couple of weeks ago about the erosion of women's rights and Hamas. We're now looking at a situation, will there be an election? Won't there be an election? You know, that's the erosion of the democratic rights of the Palestinian people, not to mention the verbal and charter-based attacks on Israel's very existence.
I find it really so interesting the number of Jews who are involved both historically and currently with Human Rights Watch. That was a wake-up call for me.
Well, one of the original founders of Human Rights Watch, I can't remember his first name, I think it's Robert Bernstein, has given Human Rights Watch a wide berth, saying absolutely, you know, this is now an organization that seems to have a very specific agenda. And very interesting for me was an article written by Hirsch Goodman. He's a South African anti-apartheid activist who lives in Israel, very, very outspoken, very much on the left. And he absolutely pulled apart this travesty of a report. In fact, he said something very, very important. He said, at a time when Israel's very future government hinges on an Arab party. You mean to tell me, you know, you are using this? You see, it's time for them to have a new set of glasses, basically. And we have had also within the hour a very, very interesting announcement coming from the mayor of Taipei, Sha'a Mansour Masarwa. He's obviously of the same Khamula, the same clan as the chief of Ra'am Mansour Abbas. He says that there's going to be a significant development on Saturday evening in the change block with regards to forming a government. What this means, we all, of course, are all speculating. I noticed Gil Hoffman, the political editor of the Jerusalem Post, tweeting out, we have to start thinking about what a government without Netanyahu at the helm could possibly look like. And we know that Yesh Atid, Yamina, and the New Hope have been in meetings since this morning about who goes where and what and how and when. But for the future of Israel's government to hinge on an Arab party and its decision of where to go speaks a lot to whether or not Human Rights Watch have any weight in their report.
Rolene Marks, thank you for the referral to the Hirsch Goodman article. I will certainly look for it. More than that, thank you for your input this week. And you will be with me again next week and we'll do it all over again.
I'll do you one better. I'll send you the article.
Even better. Thank you very much, Rolene Marks.